the Lord and ask Him to bless our teaching on the subject of supplication, that it might be conformed to His will and not our fleshly lusts. Shall we? Oh Lord God, this is Your holy, eternal, inerrant, written word. And we are Your servants. Give us understanding that we might know Your testimonies. You have prayed, O Lord God, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is true. Use Your word this hour to set us apart for Your service and for Your glory. Open Your word to us, O Lord. Show us great and mighty things which we do not know. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Use Your word to draw us now unto Jesus. For the sower sows the word, yet protect us, Lord, from Satan, who would come and snatch Your word. Protect us from the world's cares and the delight of wealth and the passion of other interests which enter in and choke Your word and make it fruitless. Protect us, Father, from a wrong reaction, an unthankful reaction to difficulties, trials, and persecutions, again causing the word to fall on rocky ground and to not bear fruit. Instead, O Lord God, plow up the hard ground of our heart. Give us good ground that Your seed might fall upon it and send roots downward and bear fruit upward. O Lord God, let not Your word go out and return void, but accomplish that purpose for which You have us here and for which You are sending it out. Let Your word reign supreme in all that is said and all that is heard. Lord, open Your word to us as a banquet table. Allow us to drink deeply of the pure milk of the great doctrines of Your word. Give us meat to eat that we might be able to discern between good and evil. As we run in the path of Your commandments, O Lord God, enlarge our hearts. Grant us that heart of the prophet who cried to You, Thy words were found and I did eat them, and Thy words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by Thy name, O Lord God of hosts. O Lord God, we live in a dark and wicked age. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many on it. There are ways which seem right, intelligible, logical, reasonable to men, but these ways are the ends of death. Make Your word a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, that we might see clearly that narrow way in which we should walk. O Lord God, open Your word to us as a mirror. Let us not be as one who takes a look at himself and goes away and promptly forgets how he looks. Let us not be forgetful listeners deceiving ourselves, but rather active doers of Your word. O Father, drop Your word next to our lives as a plumb line, as it specifically pertains to prayer, O Lord God, and the prayers of supplication. Let us conform ourselves to Your word. Unsheathe now, O Lord, the sword of Your spirit. Cut to the dividing point of bone and marrow, soul and spirit. Judge this hour the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. O Lord God, because of our fealty to You, because of our undying love, passion, and devotion for Your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, we pledge our complete submission to Your holy, eternal, inerrant, written word, and we pledge our unquestioning obedience to its commands. In the name of our Lord and resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Let's look now at supplication. And in doing so, let's turn to 1 John 5:13-14. We are going to look at supplication, and we're going to turn in our Bibles to 1 John 5, 13 and 14. Now, if you are a handout of the prayer hand, let's turn to this page of your handout on the prayer hand. Let's have that before us, shall we? Yes. Pastor Billy, read number 1, Roman numeral 1, 1. On the prayer, Pastor Billy, on the prayer hand. Roman numeral 1, 1.
God is not what we believe. By faith we believe what God is as revealed in His holy word.
That's important. God is not what we believe. Number 2, Pastor Billy.
God is not what we believe. By faith we believe what God is as revealed in His holy word.
Number 3.
God does not do what we believe. Rather, by faith we believe what God does as revealed in His holy word.
You can write in parentheses next to that the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. We believe what He does. And we believe it because of His word. Number 4, Pastor Billy.
By our word of faith command, God does not do our bidding. Rather, by faith in the commands of His holy word, we do His bidding.
Number 5.
Faith is not the ability to get God to act on our behalf. Rather, by faith, we believe that He has acted and is acting on our behalf and trust in His sovereign, good, and holy ways.
God can do anything, can't He? But He doesn't. He only does His good and holy will. And He specifically does not do our will. Whenever I'm speaking to university students on college campuses, one of the reoccurring issues among university students is evolution. Students who believe in creation, even students who believe in a seven-day creation, are always looking for some apologetic argument, something to help them combat the doctrine of the worldly doctrine of evolution. So I always say to them, I have a book which is the definitive book on evolution and creationism. It proves creation science. It proves creationism beyond any shadow of a doubt. The arguments and the proofs are irrefutable. And then I ask them if anyone would be interested in it. What do they all say? And then I say, well, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. And then they go, oh, yeah. They just kind of laugh. You know, we thought you were serious. See how jaded we've become? As if we need something to prove that God tells the truth. You know, as if we need to... God just says it. It stands on its own merit, doesn't it? Well, that's what happens when we come to prayer. I say to people, how would you like the secret of answered prayer? I can teach you a prayer that if you pray this prayer, 100% of your prayers will always be answered. Would you be interested in that? I'm not kidding you. I'm not leading you down the garden path. I have the secret to answered prayer. And if you know this secret, every single solitary supplication or intercession which you make to God will be answered every single solitary time. Would you pay good money to find that out? Just like Simon the Magician, you would, wouldn't you? People do, just like, you remember Simon the Magician. He was willing to put good money on the table to be able to do miracles like the apostles. People every day are willing to do that. I could become a millionaire writing a book on that, couldn't I? I could pack out all the rest, but I'm going to give it to you for free. Are you ready? Okay. Turn with me in your Bibles, because that's where the secret is. That's always interesting, isn't it? The secret is right there before us, but I have discovered it. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Are you ready? Luke, chapter 22, anticipation, drum roll. Get it closer, because you feel your hands or palms are sweaty now. All your dreams are about to be realized. Luke 22, verse 42. Gashuki, read that for us.
Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will be done.
There it is. If you will pray, not my will, but yours be done, every single solitary prayer of supplication and intercession you make will be answered 100% of the time in the positive. What? Because the great shock to me as a young Christian and the great shock that is waiting to occur to many of my fellow ministers is, now this may be hard to believe, God does not exist to do our will. We exist to do His will. That was a shock. In fact, when I first heard that, I thought, why pray? Why bother? God's going to do His will anyways. Why bother? Do you realize how selfish that is? Here's the average Christian, and I say that because I used to think this way. I'm praying for something, okay? Might be something important. Might be somebody's healing that I love. Might be a job I need. Might be money I need to pay bills. It's going to be something very important, and I'm praying. God doesn't answer the prayer. Or somebody says to me, well, you know, you say, not my will but thine. So if God, if it happens, you attribute it to God. If it doesn't happen, it just doesn't, you think God didn't do it. It's just kind of circumstances. You know, maybe there's no God. So you begin thinking like that. Maybe there's no God. Maybe He's not a good God. Why do I even bother praying? He's just going to do His will anyways. Right? Don't you think like that? Tell me you've never thought like that, Ian. Have you ever thought like that? Okay, good. Thank you. So I'm not the only one who thinks like that. Well, let's consider this. You have a son, okay? He's 10 years old. Picture yourself married with your 2-year-old son. Yeah? It's still the age of miracles. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You can picture that. Okay. You have a 10-year-old son, and you have told your son that when you get home from work, that y'all are going to go to the park, going to get him some ice cream, go to the park, and have a fun day at the park. Okay? And so your son has remade that request to you. You have answered in the affirmative. Off you go. Well, you come home from work. You go off to work, you return home. And your son says, Daddy, can we go to the park? And he's like, and you say, well, no, son, you can't. But you said, so we're going to play the in Jesus' name phrase, right? And back you into it. But you said, you say, well, son, no, it's not going to be the best thing. Oh, and then your son says to you, maybe you're not my father. Maybe you don't even exist. You're certainly not good. Maybe I don't even have a father. Maybe this is all just a figment of my imagination. And in a huff of anger, he walks away. Now, how do you feel? Now, if he had been quiet, you would have explained to him that Grandma had fallen down the stairs and broken her hip, and the whole family was going to go visit Grandma in the hospital. That was more important. But he was too caught up doubting that you were even his father, simply because you would not produce on command his desires. You say, well, we'll go to the park tomorrow. Well, will you give me a Mercedes? Well, no, I'm not going to give you a Mercedes. You're 10 years old. Well, then maybe you said you would give me something. I said, yes, but I was thinking something like ice cream or a cookie or something, maybe a Coke, you know, something we could enjoy together. No, I want a Mercedes. Well, no, well, then maybe you're not my daddy again. Maybe you don't even exist. Well, are you his father? And do you exist? But do you exist to make him happy and give him whatever he wants without any reference to your parental responsibilities? No. And God is our heavenly Father, but he does not exist to give us whatever we want without reference to his divine holy will. God can do anything, but he does not do anything. He does his good will. And by a word of faith, God does not get up off his throne and run here and there doing our bidding. Rather, by faith in God's holy, eternal, inerrant word, and in that word made flesh, Jesus Christ, we get up off our pews and we run here and there doing God's bidding. Big difference, isn't it? Big difference. 1 John 5:13-15. Julie, would you read that, please? Oh, just right. Macau, I haven't been calling on you. Macau is at the safest place in any of my lectures. I'm right-handed. You guys on the right-hand side may have figured out that I call on you the most. Plus, my left eye is my weakest eye, and so generally I will start calling on Kashiki, those guys, starting at about, what would that be, about 10 o'clock, right there on the clock? Yeah. So. 1 John 5:13-15.
I write these things to him who believes in the name of the Son of God, that you may know him of eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask.
If we ask him anything according to his what? His will. When I first heard this, I thought, well, why bother asking God? Let's go back to the analogy. You come to your 10-year-old son and say, son, would you like to spend the day at the park with me? We could go out. We could maybe have some ice cream. We could spend some day, maybe do a little fishing. We'll just spend the day together. Will you give me a Mercedes? Well, no. I'm going to spend the whole day with you. We're going to have a lot of fun. You know, there might be some ponies there. Might be a little amusement ride. If those who are working today, we'll ride those. And we'll sit under a tree and a park bench and have some ice cream. Well, maybe if we can buy some food, we could feed the goats, you know, if the petting zoo is open. But we're just going to have a fun day together. No, will you give me a Mercedes? No? Then no. If you're not going to give me what I ask, why would I want to spend the day with you? Why would I want to even talk to you? Why would I want to interact with you if you're not going to give me what I want? Now, what kind of child is that? What kind of child is that? Yeah. What kind of spiritual child are we as Christians, or was I as a Christian, when I found out that in supplication, no matter what I asked God, no matter what kind of suffering I did, no matter how many days I fasted, no matter what secret phrases I used, no matter what manipulative emotions I welled up in myself, that God simply was only going to do his will. And my conclusion was, why bother? Just like that selfish child, wasn't it? Well, God's going to do his holy, just will anyways, instead of doing my will. Why am I even, what's the use of prayer? Because that's what people eventually ask, don't they? When you teach this to the average Christian, to the average Sunday school class, to the average workshop, to the average conference, the conclusion is, why bother? See, but that begins, takes us back to our initial illustration, didn't it, of the man coming home from dinner. Remember back last week when we were doing that? Prayer is a relationship, isn't it? It's more than confession and supplication. It's more than I've been unfaithful to you and here's my due list. It's a personal relationship with God. And supplication is a small sliver of that relationship. But to most self-centered, word of faith, egotistical Christians, it's everything. It's the key. It's what they live for. Everything builds up to the great crescendo of getting whatever we want from God. And that's simply not true. And not only that, but it leaves us open to deception. Cornelius, here, stand up here, Cornelius. This, Cornelius is praying. Okay, Cornelius is married. You're not married, are you, Cornelius? No, no, good. So I can use you. Cornelius is married, and he's praying. Okay? He's praying. I'm unhappy with my wife. Give me another one. What will God say?
No.
Ephesians 5:25, love your wife. That's God's will. Whoever you're married to, love her. Cornelius prays again. I'm unhappy with my wife. Give me another one. What does God say?
No.
He decides to spend all night in prayer and fasting. I'm unhappy with my wife. Give me another one. What does God say?
No.
Is God the Holy Spirit the only Spirit?
No.
There are demonic spirits out there. Will they answer that prayer? Will they give him another wife? He can put a fleece down. Will they confirm it? Yeah. Will they give him emotions and feelings and dreams and maybe even a vision or a miracle to confirm it? They will, won't they? You ask your dad, you're 10 years old, Dad, I want to see what it's like to get drunk. Would you buy me a bottle of vodka? What would you say, Billy?
No.
All right? If he asks you tomorrow, what will he say?
No.
If he asks you the next day, what will he say?
No.
Yeah. Are there people at his school or on the streets who will sell vodka to underage boys?
Neither.
Uh-huh. And are there wicked people who will actually give it to them?
Yes.
There are, aren't there? Just because we get something doesn't mean it's from God. Getting, getting, getting is not the chief end of the Christian life. It's not the pinnacle of spirituality. I have gotten to the point in my mystical spiritual evolution to now I can get whatever I want. That's how most people view spiritual maturity. You grow to the point. Your past adoration, your past confession, you bore right through Thanksgiving. Now you're right where you wanted to be all along. Supplication, I can get it. Well, that's not true. That's spiritism, that's mysticism. God will not do that, but other spirits will. And we need to understand that. We need to return sound doctrine to supplication and intercession. So let's begin. Macau, look at Luke 22:41. Julie, Romans 8:27. Gus, Ephesians 5:17. We need first to return sound doctrine. Not the doctrines of deceiving spirits and demons, but sound biblical doctrine. If we pray in the Spirit, what will our prayers be aligned with? Yes, God's Word, because it's inspired by God the Holy Spirit. If we are praying in the Spirit, Ephesians 6, pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view, be on the alert with all prayer and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance might be given in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. If we are praying, according to Ephesians 6, in the Spirit, praying at all times in the Spirit, our spiritual prayers will be aligned with the Word of God, won't they? So let's look at what the Word of God says. Luke 22, 41 and 42.
The group about stones threw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done.
Supplication is asking something in humility. It's not telling something. In our relationship with God, He is Lord, what are we? He is Father, what are we? Yeah, that's exactly right, isn't it? He is without sin, what are we? He is right, what are we? Wrong, aren't we? So we come to God in humility and we put our what? Request. Let your what be made known to God, so that the peace of God may keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your, what's the word? Request. A request. We don't tell God. We don't make demands. We don't make claims. The Word of Faith movement is based on demands and claims made on that which is rightfully yours, isn't it? That is not biblical prayers. None of it is rightfully ours. The very definition of grace is receiving that which is not rightfully yours. Isn't that true? If you want that which is rightfully yours, prepare to spend eternity in hell. Everything else is grace. Romans 8, 27.
And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the things in accordance with God's will.
How does the Spirit intercede? According to what? Not our will. Jesus prayed, God the Son prayed, not my will, but thine. God the Holy Spirit prays, not this intercessor's will, but thine. When the Holy Spirit prays in words and groanings, in expressions of groanings too deep for words, He's praying not this person's, not Kashuki's will, not John's will, not Cornelius's will. A spiritual prayer is always God's will. Ephesians 5:17. Yeah, in your prayers, don't be foolish. Understand what God's will is. And you will notice in your supplication section, what is there? Turn in your supplication section in your prayer notebook that I supply you with. Under supplication, what is there? Bible verses, right? Page 54. Bible verses. See that? I've got in my supplication section, I have pages of Bible verses. Areas of faith, areas of character, knowing the Word of God. Verses on knowing the Word of God. I've got purity, I've got humility, I've got teachability. I'm praying over God's Word. What is God's will? God's will is always in conformity with God's Word, isn't it? I don't know if God wants my daughter to be healed, and I don't know if God wants me to have a car, and I don't know if God wants me to go to South Africa. I would like to go to South Africa for God. I don't know. I put these requests before Him and wait and see what He does, don't I? But I do know Psalm 119, 162, I am thy servant, give me understanding that I might know thy testimonies. I can pray that with faith, can't I? Because that's God's Word. I do know Luke 9:23 is God's will, don't I? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I know that's God's will. I can pray that with confidence, can't I? Don't be foolish in your prayers. Understand what the will of the Lord is. He's only going to do his will. Anything that you do not know for certain that it is God's will, if you do not know that for certain, present it humbly as a request. Anything that you do know is God's will, present it humbly, but with confidence as a request. Asking God with humility and confidence is a big difference than telling God with authority, isn't it? It's a big difference. Shaking your fist at God and saying you are laying claim to that which is rightfully yours is sin. That's sin. Don't do it. Don't shake your fist at God and don't lay claim to that which is rightfully yours, because none of it is rightfully yours. Come to God in humility with thanksgiving, and in humility place your request before him, and then step back, put your hands behind your back, look down in humility at the floor, and wait and see what he says. And whatever he says, say thank you and leave. Isn't that right? Don't come marching into the throne of grace, shaking your fist and pointing to all the riches that are piled up behind you, saying, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine, get it now, that's mine. Don't do that, because they're not yours. Telling God, we don't tell God, do we? I can remember my freshman year. I was walking across campus and I saw some bushes, and they were really trimmed neatly, and they were lining the campus. And I remembered how Christ had cursed the fig tree and how he had said, if you could move a mountain. And so I just prayed, Lord, I'm going into my class now. I just pray that when I come out, all these shrubs will be rooted up and scattered out over campus. Well, when I came out, did that happen? No, no. And you know what? There was probably some simple Baptist or Pentecostal deacon, some Methodist deacon, who had to, probably with a high school education, who had to work around all those professors and was trying to have some sort of outreach to them. And he thought, you know, I can, just by keeping these shrubs for the glory of God, maybe I can get the attention of one of these professors. And I was just going to rip them up and cast them around, wouldn't I? Aren't you glad God doesn't answer prayer? I am. I have a talk that I give. Prayers I'm glad God didn't answer. And the older you get, the longer the list becomes. I praise God he only does his good and holy will. I certainly praise God he doesn't do your will, or the prayer of faith of every child, every teenager, every college student, every selfish Christian who comes up with a mustard seed's worth of faith. Now, we're going to have a conference this weekend. What kind of weather do you want, Julie?
Sunny.
Sunny? Be nice, wouldn't it? Somebody else says, you know, it's been kind of chilly. I want really hot, roasting weather. That would be good. Somebody else says, boy, you know, we've had a little rain, but, you know, it'd be nice. It's the weekend. I won't have to be working if it would just rain all day, all night. Just rain. Somebody else says, Macau says, I've never seen snow. I'm just going to pray a prayer of faith in the snow. Jay says, I'm going to pray for a tornado to sweep through here and judge. I'm going to ask for the judgment of God to fall. Hail, tornadoes, floods. Yeah, hurricanes into Mombasa. Level all the mosques, all the wicked infidels will teach them a lesson. Ian says, you know what? I'm going to take my nephew out to the park. I wish it would be really windy. And then Cornelius says, you know, I've got to do a little painting. I've got some chairs I need to paint. It'd be nice if it was just a hot, still day so I could paint it, no wind would blow on it, and the paint would dry quickly. Can you imagine the chaos in the city of Nairobi if God said that prayer was Him doing our will? Aren't you glad that this weekend's weather will be God's good, just, holy, and perfect will? Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad God doesn't answer my prayers, and I'm glad God doesn't answer your prayers, and I'm glad that those men with the deceiving spirits and the winds of doctrine who think that, like Simon the magician, answered the power of answered prayer and miracles can be bought and sold on the offering plates of temporary Bibles and Holy Spirit conferences, I'm glad they're wrong. I'm glad, and I praise God for it. You see, we don't trap God, do we? You said in Jesus' name. You said it. You said in Jesus' name. You got to do it. You said in Jesus' name. I've got you now, God. I've got you right up against the wall. Okay, look at me in the face, okay? You see me? See me? Look at my eyes. See? Look at me. You say in Jesus' name. Look at that. You know what I'm talking about? I see it on TV. I hear it on the radio. You see it in the Temple Bible, men shaking their fists at God, looking right up in heaven. You look me right in the eye right now. God, I've got you. I've got you right where I want you. Right in the corner. Get out of this one. Is that prayer? No. If we feel close to God, we don't stand there looking Him at His face, shaking our fists at Him. When we really feel close to God, first we're on our knees, aren't we? And then we're on the floor, aren't we? And we forget about all our requests as we meditate and understand His holiness during our time of adoration. And all we can think of is, why did He ever save me? And why is He even listening to me? And what do I have to say to Him? And just thank you, Jesus. Oh, and by the way, here's some things. But really, Your will, not mine. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Isn't that how we look up to God? We don't trap God. We certainly do not start being God. In Jesus' name, I command you. I command you. In Jesus' name, I command you to see. I command you to be prosperous. In Jesus' name, I instill this gift and blessing. In Jesus' name, I will prophesy. Me, I got it. Are you kidding me? Good. In Jesus' name, we're going to be taking an offering a little later. In Jesus' name, I... No! I had a pastor friend at a church I was on staff with. And he was witnessing to a Mormon. And the Mormon said, what do you think is going to happen when you die? He says, well, as I understand it, we're going to spend eternity worshiping God. He just laughed at him. Why would you want to spend eternity worshiping God when you could be a God? Why would you, Cornelius, why would you want to come on your knees before God and with your hands shaking at the very audacity of it, present Him with some requests that you don't even know are His will or not. But just say, you know, whatever Your will, not mine. And just present Him with that. And then be happy with whatever He does when I can give you the power to speak it. To be God. To be Jesus, right? You could be one of the apostles. You could be God. You could be Jesus. You can just speak it into it, right? So why would you want to worship a God when you could be one? Huh? That's what that claim is, isn't it? You tell somebody that you are going to move them from asking God in humility for something, but leaving it up to Him, and you're going to give them the power to speak it into reality. Then where is that power coming from? Where is it coming from? From them. Didn't the Bible say that Jesus felt the power coming out of Him? That's a divine attribute that's limited to God. When we pray for somebody to be healed, we are asking God to heal them. We're not healing them. Right? I guess we're not. But I have known them. They honestly believe that they have the power, not God. That's wrong. Asking in humility with the confidence that God will do His will is different from telling God what to do. Speaking to God with authority, isn't it? Confidence is different than authority, isn't it? Coming with confidence into the presence of God is different than coming with authority, isn't it? Asking God is different than trapping God, isn't it? I know the secret word. Now I've got you trapped. You're not God if you don't answer. Asking God is different than being God, isn't it? We do not want the chaos of answered prayer. We don't want that. God protects it from us. You see, our faith is in God as revealed in His holy word. We do not place our faith in belief. The reason your prayers aren't answered is not because you don't have enough belief, or pure belief, or the volume of belief, or the right kind of belief, or the secret of belief. But if you just get the belief right, you'll get it, right? Wrong. No. That's wrong. John 14:13, Macau. Julie, Psalm 66:18. Vishuki, Ecclesiastes 5:1-2. Pastor Billy, Matthew 7:11. And we'll come back to these, so don't worry if you miss one. Tony, Matthew 21:22. Jay, John 15:17. Ian, John 15:16 for Ian. Cornelius, 1 Timothy 2:8. Macau, 1 Peter 3:7. Julie, 1 John 5:14-15. Yasuki, Luke 22:42. Hey, it's a shame it's our last session together and I can actually call you all by your name, isn't it? That's too bad, isn't it? Okay, John 14:13. We do not place our faith in belief. We place our faith in Christ as revealed, Christ, God incarnate, as revealed in His Word. The Word became flesh, as revealed in His Word. That's where we place our faith. John 14:13.
And I'll do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father.
Why does Jesus do what we ask in His name? For what purpose? For the glory of the Father. If it does not bring glory to the Father, will He do it? No. So that's one reason God didn't answer that prayer. It doesn't bring glory to Him. Sometimes death brings glory to Him, doesn't it? Yes. Psalm 66:18.
If I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord will not have listened.
Yeah. If we regard wickedness, if we cherish it, if there's known sin in our heart, that impacts answered prayer. Ecclesiastes 5:1-2. Yeah, Ephesians 5:17. Do not be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. So don't go into the temple to talk. Go into the temple to listen. Matthew 7:11.
If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?
Yeah, it's only going to give a good gift, isn't He? If a 10-year-old asks you for a Mercedes, will you give it to him? No, would that be good for him? No, it wouldn't, would it? It wouldn't. And you, he will only, if you've had your tonsils out and the doctor has said, now don't give your child anything that is rough or that will irritate those sores from where we've removed his tonsils. He can have liquids, he can have jello, he can suck on ice. And your child wants popcorn or maize. Will you give it to him?
No.
Why?
It's not good
for him. It may be good for you. He said, well, but Billy gets to eat it. Well, Billy Jr. didn't just have his tonsils out. You can suck on this ice cube. You can have this gelatin. You can have some soda. But that's all. Nothing that will irritate it. You've got open sores from having your tonsils out. He will only give what is good. Even, and what's good for somebody else may not be good for us. Isn't that true? Matthew 21:22.
If you believe, you will receive what you ask when you pray.
Okay. 21:22. Doesn't it say there you do not know what you are asking? Okay. I have to circle that. Okay. There's a verse in the Bible where the disciples asked Christ, can one of us sit on one side and one of us sit on the other? And what does Jesus ask them? Say to them, you do not know what you are asking. That's what he says. That, so this 21:22 goes down at the end of the list. So I'll come back to you, Tony. So, I don't know, if someone can find that, that would be nice. You do not know what you are asking is the passage. And that sometimes we ask God for things and we don't know what we're asking. When they asked if they could be at his right and his left, they were asking to be crucified with him, weren't they? They don't know, they didn't know what they were asking. John 15:7. Yeah, our prayers have to be in conformity with the Word of God. John 15:16. Yeah, it's in the context of bearing spiritual fruit. He chose us for His glory. We didn't choose Him for our glory. 1 Timothy 2:8.
I warn men who have to live the holy man in prayer,
yeah. Is there any wrath, any dissension, any anger and disputing between you and other brothers and sisters in Christ in your fellowship? 1 Peter 3:7.
Husbands, the same way, because you are the you live with your wives, treat them with respect as a weaker partner and as heirs with you. Of the glory of the gracious gift of life. So that's nothing with that of prayer.
Yes. You want to talk with God about all sorts of things. Your money, your health, your job, your ministry. God wants to talk to you about how roughly you treat your wife. 1 John 5:14-15.
This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him.
Luke 22:42.
Father, if you really take this cup for me, yet not my will but yours be done.
Then we come to Matthew 21:22. Tony?
If you believe, you receive whatever you ask for.
Yeah, if we believe what? If we believe in belief?
In Jesus.
Yes. If our prayers are conforming in belief to the revealed will and word of God, if our prayers are in God incarnate, Jesus Christ, if they are in conformity to His will, the word of God made flesh, if we believe that, and if we pray, we will have it. But it's not if you believe in yourself, is it? It's not if you believe in belief, is it? God never And the word of God never. You see, these verses are from, it's not just that Paul or people, Peter twisted Jesus' words. These words are from the gospel too, aren't they? God never promised us unconditional prayer. Never. And the problem is not that you just don't have enough faith. If you go to God in faith, where are you? What do we boldly approach? Now, if you're a Christian and you bow your head in prayer, you are right there at the throne. There's nothing more. You can't get any closer, can you? You can't. And you present your quest, and then what does God do? His will. And then you say, well, see you later, God. You won't see me again. It's not worth the effort if you're not going to do what I say. That's like going to visit your father. Going to the village, visit your father. And you ask him for something, and he says no. And you say, well, forget it, Dad. You'll never see me again. Why bother? Well, that would hurt, wouldn't it? Think of how we grieve the Holy Spirit of God as we shake our fists and as we try to figure out how to get God to do our will. Think of that. See, the Word of Faith movement is the melding of Christianity, mysticism, and materialism, isn't it? All of those things work together. Spiritism and materialism. It's existential methodology. You know what that highest good of the existentialist? Existentialist? The highest good for the existentialist is personal peace and affluence. Here's a decision-making model for the existentialist. Okay? You have peace and affluence, okay? You have Eldoret, Mombasa, Nairobi, and Kissimmee. That's where you have. In Eldoret, you know, he doesn't really like the city of Eldoret, even though there's going to be a lot of money there. Mombasa, he really likes Mombasa, but the pay is not good. Now, in Kissimmee, he doesn't like Kissimmee, and the pay is bad. But in Nairobi, or you've got the nice big city and good pay, what will the existentialist do? That's right. Because the highest good, his all his life, is based on two things. Do I have peace about it, and will something good happen, or is happening? Now, is that the decision-making model for the disciple-maker? Is it? No. Matthew 6:33, not existentialism, is our decision-making model, isn't it? It's, but seek first what?
Kingdom.
His kingdom, and seek first what? His righteousness. Now, that disciple-maker, he looks at Eldoret, and he says, well, you know, the job, you know, it looks pretty good. They're going to let me be a Christian. Things are going to move along just fine. But, you know, I just can't, you know, I checked there. I just couldn't find any good churches. You know, I just feel like I'm going to be on the edge of things spiritually. I just don't think I'm ready to be kind of on my own yet. So, then he comes over to Mombasa and he says, man, you know, there's a lot of opportunities for witnessing down in Mombasa. But I checked with the job. There's a lot of corruption there. There's a lot of immorality. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on me. I just think the righteousness of God is going to be. If I go to Nairobi, you know, I'll tell you the truth. I get lost in that city. I think it would overpower me. I just, you know, I think I would spend all my time driving around and just finding the city. I think it would just soak up my time. And when I interview for the job, there's a lot of corruption and a lot of immorality. They expect you to go to a lot of office parties and there's a lot of drinking. And, you know, I just don't think I could do that. But, you know, at Kissimmee, there's a campus ministry there that's really happening in the church that's involved in that campus mission, and they've already said, boy, if you come to Kissimmee, we'll put you right to work. And the job there, you know, it's just a little company, but the owner's a Christian, and he leads us in family devotional, and it looks like they're trying to do the right thing for the right reasons. Where will the disciple maker go? That's the last place the existentialist will go, isn't it? So, in the word of faith movement, it's just the meld of spiritism being led by mystical signs and wonders with materialism, existentiality. What's, for the word of faith movement, what do you need? How does God open the door? What do you have? You have peace about it and the blessing of God, right? How does God close the door? You don't have peace about it. And the blessing of God is not there. Okay? That's just taking a worldly, materialist, existential model and putting hanging Christian words on it, isn't it? I have peace about it and something good will happen. God's opening the door. I don't have peace about it. Something bad will happen. The problem is that for the Christian, very often, God's will has to do with turmoil and deprivation, doesn't it? That's what produces true proven character, isn't it? You see, what we have to do is submit the word of faith movement to God's word. Nowhere do we, in Holy Scripture, do we find men shaking their fists at God and telling God what to do. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Moses, in the name of sacrifices at the temple, in the name of anything. Show me that in the book of Acts. And the apostles were dropping down on their faces in front of the angels, weren't they? Angels had to get them up. You're too humble. You know, don't worship me, worship God. You would never find an apostle shouting at God and telling him what to do, would you? Do we have to pry things from the hand of a cynical God who doesn't want to give them to us? If we ask God for bread, will he give us a snake? No, he will give what is what? What does God give to those who ask him? Well, what is good. That's right. We have that kind of... Well, repetitive prayers, will they help? Let's see. Macau, Matthew 6, verse 7 and 8. Julie, Ephesians 1, 3. Gus, 2 Peter 1, 3. Pastor Billy, Deuteronomy 29, 29. Tony, Hebrews 12, verse 10 and 11. Jay, Galatians 4, 13. Ian, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 10. Cornelius, James 4, 3 and 4. Macau, Acts 8, verse 9 and 18. Julie, Hebrews 10, 18. And Gus, Colossians 2, 16 through 19. Do we have to pry things from God's unwilling hand? Do we have to do that? Do we have to fast and pray and weep and leap and shout and engage in mystical trances and things like that to get God's attention, to make him take us seriously? Do we have to do that? No, we just have to boldly approach. What does Matthew 6, verse 7 and 8 say?
When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be hard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
Yeah. He says, don't keep using the same phrase. That babbling like pagans, the Greek word there is repetitive phrases. Don't, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You know, we get into that in song, we get into that in prayer, in Jesus' name. You know, just think, if we just keep saying that, you know, it's like putting coins in a slot machine. If we do it enough times, who knows, one of those times when I say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name, Lord Jesus, one of those times, it's going to go ding, 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 and it's going to be all carrots all the way across, and we're going to get the jackpot, aren't we? said, no, no, we don't do that. We don't need to engage in repetitive phrases and prayers and text words and secret words. Because our faith is not in our belief, our faith is in Christ. Ephesians 1:3.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing and praise.
2 Peter 1:3. Yeah, spiritual treasures, treasures that are ours, do not exist apart from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is no doctrine of salvation where you are a Christian and yet there are spiritual blessings and treasures that exist separately in this storehouse in heaven. And these are blessings that exist separately, spiritually, from Jesus. That simply doesn't exist. When God says He will open up the storehouse and shower down blessings upon you, He's talking about Him. He's not talking about this metaphysical fourth member of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the storehouse. No. It's not apart from Jesus. It's a word picture for us to understand the goodness of God, that everything is His, that He will bless us. Deuteronomy 29:29.
The secret things belong to the Lord our God, and things indeed belong to us, to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of His name.
There are not secret words, secret prayers, secrets of blessing. The secret. Anytime you see a book that's the secret of something, forget it. Because it's not. It's not the secret. If it is a secret, you don't have access to it. It might be the forgotten principles of prayer. You know, we have them, but people have just forgotten them. Or the ignored principles of prayer. It might be that. Or the misunderstood principles of prayer, or the least studied principles of prayer, but they are not the secrets. That's vain, pride, spiritism, but not of God. Hebrews 12:10-11.
Hebrews 12:10-11. Our Father distant us for a little while at the break of bed, but God distant us, discipline us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but thankful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it.
God doesn't want you to be happy all the time. Satan wants you to be happy all the time. Not God, Satan.
Yeah, strengthen.
No, that we're at the end. Galatians 4:13. Why did the church of Galatia hear the gospel? Yeah, it was God's will that Paul be sick. And good occurs. It's not God's will that you're well all the time. It's not God's will that you're wealthy all the time. That's Satan's will. The world's cares and the delight of wealth and the passion of other interests will enter in and they'll choke the word and they'll be fruitless in your life. That's Satan's will. Personal peace and prosperity, not God's. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10.
Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, you have given me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan commands me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implore the Lord 3 times in thy crazy name. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is sufficient for you. Most likely, therefore, I will tell most about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecution, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then I am strong.
Now, was it God's will for Paul to get well? No! And God said it! He said, enough is thorn in the flesh. Maybe it was a fever, maybe it was malaria, maybe it was arthritis. Who knows what it was? some sort of infection that wouldn't go away. Some, you know, who knows what it was. It was bad eyesight. Maybe he had cataracts on his eyes. Maybe he had some scar tissue in his body. Who knows what it was? But what did God say? It's yours for the duration, isn't it? It's good for you. It allowed the Galatian church to begin. It allowed the book of Galatians to be written, and there's more in store for you. God does not want me to be sick? Wrong. God does not want me to be poor? That's wrong. Hebrews 11, 32 through 40. What did you have? Okay. Let's turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews 11, please. Hebrews 11, 32 through 40. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, in weakness were made strong, became mighty in battle, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection. Anybody want to volunteer for that? Yeah. Throw you into the lion's den, you come out, you're unscathed, you get to be Secretary of State. Right? Prime Minister. Throw you in the fiery furnace, you come out, you're unscathed, you get to be the Minister of Defense, the Minister of the Treasury, you know, Minister of all foreign policy. Isn't that great? Throw you into prison, some angel comes along, unlocks the door, gets to bring you back. You get to have a good laugh when they don't believe their prayers are answered. Put foreign armies to fly, write books of the Bible, live in victory. Great life of faith. Anybody volunteer? You all do, don't you? Well, let's keep reading. The others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, goatskins, being what? They were not poor, they were destitute, completely impoverished, afflicted. Afflicted? I thought they were supposed to be well all the time, weren't they? Poor and sick. Ill-treated, men of whom the world is not what? Great men of faith, sick and poor, wandering in deserts, mountains, caves, and holes of God. All these, having gained approval for their faith, did not receive what? Were they great men of faith? Were they poor? Were they sick? Did they get their promises? Were they great men of faith? God wants me to have all the good things I want? False. James 4, 3 and 4.
When you ask, you not receive because you ask from God, you may spend what you get and
stay with God. That's right. God doesn't want you to have everything you want. Maybe I can learn the secret treasures, or these are hidden, but I can use a monetary seed faith to get these miracles and treasures. Acts 8, verse 9. Who has that? Okay. Please read loud so everybody can hear, Macau. Acts chapter 8, verse 9.
Now for some time, among them that Simon had practiced sorcery in the city, and amazed all the people of Samaria, boasted that he was someone great.
Okay, in verse 18. So you have this magician, and he can amaze people. Okay, verse 18.
When Simon saw the spirit, saw that the spirit was given at the laying on the apostles' hands, he overturned his money and said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.
Is that how the Holy Spirit is given? Is that how gifts are given? Is that how blessings are given? Through seed faith, financial gifts? Is it bartered and sold like the Catholic Church did before the Reformation? Is that how this works? Then we're going to stand up before our congregation and say, I bought this with money and I'll sell it to you for money. Is that how this is going to work? That's what they're saying, right now. Now, I went to, Simon the Magician had this, I bought it for him, you give me money, I'll sell it to you. That's all seed faith is, isn't it? When it entails money. There's no possible interpretation in the Word of God by which you can come up with a minister saying, if you give me your money, I will make sure you get God's blessing. That's belched from the pit of hell. Colossians 2:16-19. Keep reading, please. Colossians 2 to the very end.
Since you died in Christ to the basic principles of this world, why though you still belong to which Jesus of the mysterious rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all just perishable things because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations do have an appearance of wisdom. They are served for his worship, their false humility, and their harshness and pedagogy. But they lack any value in this training such what you got.
We don't look for mysticism in prayer, but neither do we look for asceticism. We don't convince God of our sincerity or worthiness by staying up all night in prayer, by fasting, by raising our hands up till they hurt, by kneeling until we are in such pain. God doesn't want us to treat our body harshly. Whose body was treated harshly? By his wounds we are healed. By his wounds. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you are healed. He bore the judgment. You don't, he bore the suffering. You don't have to do that. That is true also in intercession, isn't it? Many people will not go to all these extremes and misuses of prayer for themselves, but they, if they have a wife or a child or a relative who is sick or not saved, then they become open to all sorts of abuses, both in asceticism and in spiritism. No, we come back to John 15:17. If you abide in me, if we are Christians, if we are born again, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. If we abide in Christ, if he's our mediator, and if his word abides in us, if it is God's will, if it's conforming to God's will, then what, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. The ministry of supplication and intercession is not the pinnacle of spirituality by which God becomes our servant. It is simply the supreme blessing of approaching the throne of God, presenting our requests before him, and with the confidence that rather than answering our prayers, he'll do what's best for us. Oh Lord God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the guidance it gives us in the Christian life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.